All right, tonight we're going to be talking about glory. So if you don't mind, let's bow our heads in glory before God. God, just thank you for how awesome you are, and we just want to give you the glory tonight in everything we do as we go about our days, but just help the words I say to glorify you and reveal your glory to everyone, and just thank you for the love that you've given us, God, and how you've blessed each and every one of us, just knowing you and the sacrifice that you've made for us, and it's in your name I pray, amen. All right, I'm going to start in Colossians chapter 3. Just to kind of give you guys a feeler for where we're at. Verse 17 says, "And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." I want to kind of tell you the story of how I came to this topic. I thought it was kind of cool and kind of glorifying to God, because We had found out about a month and a half ago that we were leading the service on Sunday night, this Sunday night, and we kind of just forgot about it because it was too far in the future, you know. Young adults, I mean, I hardly know what I'm doing tomorrow, let alone a month and a half in the future. So we kind of just let it go on the back burner, and Mike talks to me probably less than a week ago, and it's just like, "Hey, are you still in for leading service?" And I was like, "Yeah, sure. Okay, what are we doing? Like, what's our topic?" And I was just like, "Well, I don't really know. I don't have anything off the top of my head." So I was like, "Just give me a couple hours to think about it, and maybe something will pop up." So I was actually hanging out with my girlfriend Brittany, and it was really funny because I hadn't told her about this, that we were leading service, and I needed to come up with a topic. And she just was like, "Hey, I have this really cool story that I just read, and I'm going to share what she shared with me closer to the end of my lesson." But and it totally talked about God's glory, and I was like, "That's it, right there. Okay, perfect." So, I mean, I just want to give glory to God for that one. I mean, he just handed that one to me. So, just want to let you know about that. But what do you guys think of when you think glory? I'll tell you what I think about. I think about the Battle of Thermopylae, the 300 Spartans that stood against the Persian army. I think about comeback victories, comeback from behind, no chance. I think about underdog victories. I think of the movie Cinderella Man. I think of Rocky IV. I think if I had to cut it down to just like a couple sentences, I would say, "Against all odds, I stood my ground, and I came out on top. Or at least, if I didn't come out on top, I went down swinging." That's what I think of when I think of glory. But in all those examples that I gave you, my different movies or sports analogies or whatever you want to take it, where's the focus of the glory? I want the glory. So I want to read from Romans chapter 11, verse 33-36. Because this is where the glory should be going. It says, "Oh, the depths of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his past beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay him? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen." So, I don't know about you guys, but sometimes that's a hard thing to swallow. That through everything, for from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. I like to take the glory. I like to know that I stuck it out and I earned a victory. I put that in quotes. And so I kind of was thinking about it, like, what excuses do we use to take the glory? And there's I'm sure there's a lot more than this, but I came up with a couple that really hit home to me. The first one is that I prepared for this. Whether that's it's a sporting event, I worked my butt off, I ran all these miles, I practiced drills, I earned this. I went all these, like, I mean, I can think of like all the Olympic athletes. I mean, those guys train so hard every day. I mean, I don't know all their routines, but I mean, I can think of Michael Phelps because I heard of his workout routine. He swims like something in the neighborhood of like 10, 15 miles a day, which is a long, long way. So, I mean, I could see doing something like that, working every day and getting to the end and saying, I earned this. I prepared. I worked harder than these other guys. I earned it. Another thing that tends to get in the way for me, there's a couple different subcategories of this, but if something's small, and I'll explain that in a minute, but if something's small, it's easy for me to take credit for it. Sometimes if it's something small, I don't really want to do it. It's hard to be a servant and do the small things sometimes. And I want to share with you guys, I'm sure you've heard the story of Naaman in 2 Kings. And I'll read a little bit, but I'll also summarize some of the section. I want to start at the beginning of chapter 5. It says, "Now Naaman was the commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy." Okay, so first of all, this guy's a pretty big shot. Okay, I'm sure he worked himself up the chain, won a lot of battles. He had earned his spot. He was a big man. And I just think it's kind of cool that it fits in with this, how it talks about how God was the one who made him awesome. So basically, he has leprosy, and through a chain of events, he ends up getting sent to Elisha. And I think this is so funny because, let's see, where is it? Verse 10. Okay, so basically, Naaman goes to Elisha to see him, and Elisha doesn't even walk out and greet him. He sends his messenger and says, "Oh yeah, go talk to him." And I could just see right from the beginning, I could tell if that was me, I would be hacked. Be like, "You're not even going to spend the time. I came all this way to come see you. I'm sick. I want your help. And you're just going to send a messenger. Do you even know who I am? I mean, I'm this big shot commander." So Elisha sends out this messenger and says, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." Okay, so it seems pretty simple to us. I mean, I've never been to the Jordan River, but it kind of explains a little bit further. It says, "But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call in the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Farfar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. Okay, so that's about what I would expect. Okay, big guy, kind of feels like he got dissed. Washing the Jordan, that's such a dirty river. That's an easy thing. I want him to be like, poof, you're healed. I mean, don't we all, that'd be a glorifying, I mean, if we can't be the guy that won the big game, wouldn't we at least like to be a part of the story? To be on the team that won the big victory? I mean, at least if we can't be, like, have all the glory, we can at least be a part of it and say, "Hey, I was there. I took part of that." But Naaman's servant, he says, he went to him and said, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him, and his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. So it's easy for us to let our pride get in the way of giving God the glory. We want something big. We want to be a part of something big. Another thing, I said it was something small, and this is another subcategory. A lot of times it's easy for me, personally, if it's just something, the everyday little things, it's hard to give God the glory in little things. I mean, there's just so many little parts of our day that we don't understand have to fall together, and we miss them, or we take for granted the fact that we have a car, or our body works, you can get to church. I mean, those are things we should be giving God the glory for, but it's easy. It happens every day, so why do we even think about it? It's easy to just let it slip. So with that, I wanted to share this story. This is a lady named Penny Haynes. She was the South African Olympic gold medalist in swimming. And there's a little quote at the beginning, and then I'll read it. It's about 2 pages long. It says, in the quote, it says, "Anything you can do can become an act of worship. Nothing makes God happier than people praising him through the activities he has gifted them to do. We often think worship is restricted to singing songs in church on Sunday mornings. The swimming pool was God's classroom for teaching me that true worship is a daily attitude of the heart. It's acknowledging God's worthiness to the one we gave our all to. After the Atlanta Olympics in 1996, when I became the first woman swimmer ever to win a gold medal in both the 100 and 200 meter breaststroke, I fell into a 2-year slump. By May 1998, I found myself struggling to continue swimming. After much prayer and soul searching, even considering retirement, I relocated from Nebraska to Calgary, Canada, to continue training. Thinking my days of being the fastest swimmer were probably over, my primary objective was to be a godly witness to my new teammates. But the first day of training, my coach instructed me to swim at the far end of the pool and do 6 sets of 800s. This meant swimming up and down a black line on my own for 80 minutes. My heart sank. I wondered, how does God plan to use me if I can't even speak to my fellow athletes? Swimming in isolation, I found myself grumbling and complaining. Later that evening, reading 1 Thessalonians 5, 16-18, "Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." I realized that I hadn't been swimming with a thankful heart. Suddenly it dawned on me that God wanted me to worship him as I trained. I sensed God was saying to me, "Penny, as you swim up and down this black line, this is your opportunity to worship me. Every single breaststroke, kick, and pull that you do is the same as raising your hands in church and praising me. I'll teach you to worship me through your talent." Swimming wasn't just about the medals or recognition or doing a specific training set for my coach or myself anymore. Instead, I committed to giving my whole being and heart to God in every moment of my swimming. As I began focusing on God in the water every day, worship became a habit. Soon, regardless of how I felt, I looked forward to going to the pool in the afternoons to worship my Lord. A year later, in mid-June 1999, I competed at a swim meet in Los Angeles. Coming off one of the heaviest training cycles of my career, I felt drained and completely dependent on God. The first race, the 200-meter breaststroke, wasn't my favorite event. As I stepped into the starting block, I silently prayed, "Lord, as I swim up and down in this race, I'm going to focus on you. Every single kick and pull cycle is going to be an act of worship. I trust you, your will for my life." The first 3 lengths were smooth, well-paced, and relaxed. As I turned for the fourth and last length, I kicked off the wall, singing in my heart, "My strength is in you, Lord. My hope is in you, Lord." As I worshipped him, each stroke felt stronger. When I touched the wall, much to my surprise, I learned I had just set a new world record. Concentrating on God as I raced, I broke 3 more world records that meet, including my own 1996 world record in the 100-meter breaststroke. And that was just the beginning. Within 3 months, God helped me set a total of 11 world records. But the world records in themselves aren't that important to God. He's more interested in the process and what we learn on the journey. As I look back on my swimming career, it's not the world records that thrill me most. My greatest joy is knowing that God used my love of swimming to draw me closer to him. I challenge you to live a life seeking to worship God every single moment in all that you do. Whether you're training or competing, resting or enjoying time with friends or family, honor God. During good times and in difficult times, praise him. Preparing for the biggest event of your life or during your everyday routine, celebrate his presence. So with that, I just want you guys to be conscious as you go about your week. It's not always the big things that bring God the glory. In fact, a lot of times, it's the times you don't even think about it that he gets the most glory. It's in the little things. And I know that sounds silly, and I think that's why it's really cool. It's just that it's the little nuances. God just wants every single part of our life, just the little things. If you can praise God in that, you're really giving him the glory. And so with that, I want to close back in Colossians chapter 3. Moving down just a little bit, Colossians 3:23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for men." With that, if there's anything you need from the church, anything you'd like us to pray about, we ask that you come forward as we sing this song.